This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betts.
I'm Joshua.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture's PlayStation podcast. There are 40 years of playing PlayStation, 6 plus years in that games media combined. Do we throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation?
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning on YouTube at 9 a.m. and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. If you would like to join in future PlayStation conversations, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below. And if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon, head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to wear the pop culture is on your body, but in like not a creepy, you know, like Silence of the Lambs style, head over to popcultures.com/shop where you can buy our merch. We've slapped our logo on almost everything. Hi, my friend.
Yeah. After take 6, yeah, right.
Yeah, no, it's been a long day for me, so I'm probably going to be in this weird, like, zone.
That's right. We've got an easy episode today, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
We're not diving deep into industry knowledge.
Yeah, there's no extensive research in this episode.
No,
it's pretty chill.
Fucking no research in this episode.
Yeah, I want to bring something up, though.
What's that?
It's something we've talked about for a while, and behind the scenes, I've been trying to dive into the podcast, the iTunes. I've been digging deep. I've been trying to find other PlayStation shows in Australia, because I want to know where we stand. Now, I've only been able to find two at this point. I refuse to believe...
Huh? I said it about 5-5.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I refuse to believe there's only two of us. So those of you that do consume us, help us find a fun place to show, because we need to know if we are in fact number one.
That wording could have been a whole lot better.
Could have been way better. Please help me find a place to show so I can determine if we are in fact number one. Because I want to promote that shit.
Already good to start with.
Yeah, already good. Just like, hey, there's another show way better. I'm like, yeah, we can see.
Everything you guys do, but they're just not shit.
No, we can see.
Alright, that's it.
Thank you very much. This is the last episode of the place.
Wish I hadn't asked to find out.
What are we playing, friend?
You want to guess?
Monster Hunter World.
135 fucking hours worth.
Wow! I've got 40 hours since last week.
Played it full time. Had it for 3 weeks, played it for 130 hours, that's 43 hours a week. And you know what? I still haven't finished the main story.
You've been dicking around?
Could have finished it.
Mm.
80 hours ago.
Could you go in there and just stomp it now?
No.
Even though you're all geared out, you probably couldn't stop.
I'm not really geared out, though.
But if you're doing all the expeditions and stuff, you're probably getting more gear, right?
Yeah, but it's not quite how it works. I mean, I'm at the level where I'm supposed to be for the main story.
Oh.
That's it. Because the armor that I've got is from, like, the best armor I can get is from what I've just done. Like, what I've just killed.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Then what have you been doing?
I don't know. I've been digging around a lot with pretty much every weapon. Still trying to find that one weapon that just feels like, you know, just feels good.
Mm.
So I've been mucking around with a lot of them, just playing online, mostly with a lot of people, doing cool things, doing real cool things online. It's cool playing with like three other people.
Yeah.
Especially when you sleep bomb a monster, especially you get explosive barrels.
Mm.
And you know how every monster, when they get like real hurt, they like go to their nest and go to sleep. That's normally when you catch them. But the Elder Dragons later in the game can't be caught. But they still run away and go to sleep. So the Elder Dragons asleep, they're all curled up, like, fuck this shit. There's fucking four guys beating on me for 30 minutes. And there's four of us with just explosive barrels placing it around his head. You can place two each, there's eight barrels around the monster's head.
Yeah.
Because when they're asleep, the first thing they take damage from, they take double damage.
Yeah.
So I got eight barrels around this Elder Dragon's head. And then you got the hammer user to go, hut! Charge one, charge two, charge three, boom! And hits one of the barrels and it's just, and the monster's horns fucking fly off and it falls. It's awful.
And the game shudders all the way.
The monster's like seizing on the ground. It's cool when because if you hit the monster, it wakes up.
Mm.
So you never quite know what everyone else is going to do unless you're in voice chat with them. But it's cool when you see one person run up and start dropping a bomb, you're like, oh, we're sleep bombing this motherfucker. And then everyone's just like... And then you're kind of...
Yeah, that's an agreement.
It's so who's going to pop this motherfucker? First person to unsheath their weapon is like, you got this. You can stand back and watch it. So it's normally whoever's got the most reach, because if you're using, like, a dual blade, you go...
You don't use the glaive still?
That's my main weapon, the insect glaive. Trying to...
Still a bit of reach, huh? I'll bet someone has a bar.
Yeah, no, I can do it. Because I've got gloves that give me, like, super dodge.
Yeah.
So I can do it. But if someone's using a hammer, they'll do double damage from their mega smash as well. It's just trying to get every little bit of damage.
Cool.
I might train with a hunting horn for a while. That's fun. It's like, have you seen it all? I think it's a hammer, but it's also bagpipes. And each hit you do, triangle, circle, and then triangle and circle are different notes,
yeah.
And they line up on a music bar, and you line them up in a certain way, and then hit R2 to perform a song, and it gives everyone buffs.
That's more Sporol.
You think so, and it is, but man, that thing kicks out the damage. Because it's a massive hammer with, like, you know, horns on it.
Yeah.
But when you perform... When you swing the weapon around to, like, to play it, because you go, you swing it in front of you, boot it into the monster, like, boot it ahead of you, so you hit the monster in the face, and then you play it. It just looks so badass, just swinging around, boom! And then you start fucking sets. Yeah. They're all really fun, and that's why I can't settle. Every weapon, like, I haven't picked up a weapon that I've been like, it's not for me. It's like, I could see myself playing this, like, long term. I'm trying to figure it out. I could do a whole show. I'm 135 hours and I can't stop playing.
Stone Soreness and this is for the Hunters. Pop Culture is my starter PlayStation.
They're actually on Reddit, they have been asking for a good post starter podcast.
Oh, well, we can't do that.
I could.
Yeah, you could.
I'll fucking solo it. I've seen people with playtime upwards of 300 hours.
Wow.
And that's fun.
That's insane. They mustn't have a job.
That's not for me to judge.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played 135, I work 3 days a week, I do this, I've got kids, but I still found time.
Have you slept much?
No. I'm in the bean squeeze every day. Twice sometimes. The days I work, I go twice, get one before, and then halfway through, I'm like, don't get it, I'm gonna get nothing. It's like, fuck this game. What about you, man?
I'm playing not much at all. We've started, because I've still been doing the Oscars movie run with Dylan for Popcorn Spoilers for every Friday at 8:30. So I've been kind of not had the amount of spare time that I would normally have. I did jump into Monster Hunter a little bit the other day.
I was waiting for you. Did you want to help with that?
Oh, yeah, and then I crashed. I was fucking ruined. So I actually fussed on the couch a little bit. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go to bed. So I've been dicking around a little bit more in the second area. Well, now that I've missed the Horizon shit, I'm like,
okay. Street Fighter shit going on at the moment. You get a Ryu outfit,
yeah.
And you get emotes with it, and you get like a Hadouken emote,
yeah.
But it actually shoots a little ball that does like one damage. So there's people like trying to beat bosses just with doing Hadouken runs.
That's cool. God damn.
But there is also slated to come in a couple of months. More Horizon DLC, we actually get the Aloy outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so like, because of that, I don't really have, like, the urge to be like, well, I have to get to this level. And
you're one mission away.
Yeah, I know, I was, yeah. Kind of fun about that.
What if I can give you the parts?
Maybe.
Because you did that mission, and you got the parts you needed to create the Watcher armor. What if I can trade you?
You know, if you can make it again. Can you make it again?
Yeah, you can make it again, because I've got extra parts. I don't know if you can trade monster parts, though.
Can you trade
items.
Can you make the costume and then trade the costume?
I have no idea.
Find out.
If you ever played it with me, we've
got it. Yeah, I might play some tonight, actually, because I don't have to watch a movie tonight, so it's really good. So I've been playing... Yes, I jumped into the secondary. What's the secondary? Like the
Wild Spire
Wastes. I was doing a side mission where I take out the bird, egg bird.
Kulu Yaku.
Take on your Kulu Yaku, and then fucking Rathion rocked up, beat the piss out of me, and then left. And then I came to learn that your son beat Rathion.
Did.
And I'm like...
I was just walking past, he's playing, he goes, can I play? I'm like, yeah. Because I thought with Monster Hunter, he'd be like, you know, get to some of the harder monsters and be like, you know, get into that hack and slash mode and die, and just go, I'm not playing this anymore. But, you know, to his credit, he's beaten, yeah, everything up to Baroth. He beat Baroth, he beat the Juryatidos, that water... One.
Yep.
And then I caught him just walking with an egg. I'm like, this isn't going to go well, because you can pick up Rathion's eggs. If you take them back to the camp, you get like a huge resource point.
Okay. Where do you find them?
Her nest is near the second camp in that area.
Okay.
She knows when you've taken them, if she's in the match, she'll come and get me. Yeah. I'm just watching while I'm like, you're about to get fucked. Yeah, then she landed, and I expected him just to ditch the egg and run. He ditched the egg and like went in with the jewel blades, all like Naruto style. I go, alright, he wants to do this. So I sat next to him and just gave him some pointers throughout the fight. And all
dodge, like, this, jump. Yeah.
You know, dodge, you know, don't stand under her because her tail will poison you when she does her backflip. See fire in her mouth, that's the time you don't do any damage.
Well, see, I had none of that help. I just got beaten. I'm like, oh, no, let's go.
She's got fire just like idling in her mouth, that means she's enraged. And that's normally the type you just go, I'm just gonna dodge for 45 seconds till she's not enraged anymore. Mm-hmm. Try to cut off the tail so she can't poison you anymore. Yeah, pretty good. Close, because it said Rathion will leave the area soon. I'm like, dude, you got like 3 minutes to do this. He's like,
just tracks it.
Yeah, just tracks it. You know, he's doing well. I don't know how it'll go, but I always think he'll hit this wall. I'm like, this monster will just be the end of his next game. But no, he's doing well.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's good.
And I, although it's not PlayStation, I have been playing Bayonetta for the first time on the Switch.
She's cute, isn't she?
Yeah, it's an interesting game.
How sexualized it
is. Yeah, it's, she's super sexualized. And it's, I wouldn't say confronting, but it's just like...
Oh, it's a bit jarring.
It's jarring. Like, I think jarring is the correct word.
I mean, you get... We've seen lots of sexualized characters in games, but
the one that owns it.
She owns it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the way that she owns it, and it's like, it's part of a character, and not in like a...
It's not in an overly gratuitous way.
Yeah.
It's not
in a derogatory sense.
Yeah. That's just who she is, and they do it really well.
Yeah, so like I love in the opening part where, you know, where you're fighting angels in a cemetery, and then some dude comes out of a coffin, and he's like, typical 90s movie black dude, you know, he's got tatted on his head, he's like, hey, you're my brother.
It's
all quippy, and it's, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Now imagine playing it when you were 15.
I had a great time when I was 15.
I did have a great time when I was 15.
Yeah.
No, it's a good game.
Yeah,
I'm
keen to get into more of it. I might stream it as well. It does have some very strong restrictions around music for video content, so I might not be able to stream a lot of it, but I hope to get a little bit.
I finished one. Bayonetta 1 when it was on PS3.
Yeah.
Of course, Bayonetta 2 never made it, so I never played Bayonetta 2. Mm. Had a great time with number 1. And I will get them eventually on the
Switch. How long is it, do you reckon?
About 8 hours.
Oh, that's not so bad. Cool, I'm okay with that.
Ish. Yeah, I'll get it eventually, because we got the codes and he said, you know, 5 want it. But I can't stop playing last time ever. So. But I will get it eventually. I've got an EB gift card that I'm not sure what to do with, so
it'll
probably go to that.
I'm buying, it might just be more Totaku figures. God, that's over me. Anyway, that's enough of what we've been playing. Let's jump into the news. We tell you what's been happening in PlayStation this week in a segment we call Inform the Players.
It's funny, pre-show we're like, oh, we've been playing nothing. And then we proceed to talk about
whatever,
for 10 minutes about the one game we've been playing. 6 bits of news this week.
Yeah, very cool.
Number 1, the winner of this year's Writers Guild of America awards has been announced, rewarding movies, video games, and TV categories for their writing. Guerrilla Games' Horizon Zero Dawn won the WGA for the best video game writing, beating Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, Madden NFL 18 Longshot, and Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow in a
quote.
As writers who care deeply about their craft and telling stories, it's incredibly exciting for us to be receiving this award in the company of so many other writers whose work we admire and appreciate, said narrative director John Gonzalez, who accepted the award on behalf of Guerrilla Games, along with lead writer Benjamin McCaw. Continuing the quote, we want to dedicate this award to two women who did not live to see this tonight, our mothers, Anne Gonzalez and Susan McCaw, Gonzalez said as he accepted the award. It is no coincidence that their sons went on to write an epic tale with a strong female protagonist, in which human love in general and maternal love in particular loomed so large. We learned that from them. This is for them. Thank you. They are not forgotten.
Beautiful. Very nice. Really beautiful.
And if you haven't seen it already, John Gonzalez did a noclip with Daniel Dwyer on writing the story and all that. Catch about half an hour. Very interesting. Very cool watch. I love, like, noclip. Like, I enjoy lots of YouTube channels, but when a noclip video drops, it's like, I'm straight on, because I love just seeing the people that do it, and, you know, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and, you know, I just, We've mentioned Oakley a fair bit on this, actually. But yeah, he did do an interview with John Gonzalez of Guerrilla Games. Worth a watch if you're interested.
Yeah, no, like, I completely agree. Like, behind the scenes of games is fascinating to me. Like, I'm still reading Blood, Sweat, Pixels. Mm-hmm. Really good when I'm done with it.
You should check it out too.
Like, there's a bunch, like Shovel Knight is in there, Destiny 2 is in there, Witch is in there, a bunch of, like, it's like, it's things that you'd be like, oh, Stardew's in there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, like, all the games that tickle my interest.
Speaking of Stardew.
Before I jump in there though, because one thing I do want to mention, what's been really impressive about that list is Madden's there. This Madden Longshot's dope.
Yeah, we talked about it when we did the nominations about a month ago, which was, interesting.
Yeah, and Futurama is really cool, because what they did, as everyone knows, that series got back a couple of years ago. A company wanted to make a game somewhat similar to, like, Simpsons Tapped Out, well, Futurama, but they didn't want to do it half-assed, so they actually got a bunch of the writers to come in and help set it up, and got a lot of the voice actors to return. Like, the Nerdist, you know, like Chris Hardwick one, actually did a tally, like a radio play, with all the voice actors to set up, like, his promotional material.
That's cool.
So cool.
Speaking of Stardew, was news this week. I didn't put it in the news, though, but we are looking for the multiplayer beta this spring.
Our spring or
America's spring?
That's fall, that's added autumn, that's like weeks away.
Within like the next 3 months. He said public beta in spring, and then it'll be out. So
give it to me.
Really excited. Number two, US Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire has issued a letter to the Entertainment Software Rating Board, the ESRB, outlining her concerns with microtransactions, specifically with regards to loot boxes of video games. Senator Hassan expressed her concerns during a Senate Commerce, Science and Transportation Committee hearing, in which she also questioned nominees to be Federal Trade Commission commissioners, if they would be willing to take a closer look at video game addiction and loot boxes, which Hansen believes may contribute to addiction. Senator Hassan specifically refers to games allowing, quote, in-game purchase for surprise winnings, which are targeted to and used by children who may be, quote, particularly susceptible to being addicted to them. Senator Hassan also mentioned that the recent World Health Organization update, which added gaming disorder as a diagnosable disorder, as a reason for concern.
Yeah, I did have a think people would jump on the WHO thing.
On the WHO? On the
World Health Organization.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know there's another senator in Hawaii who's now pushing for it even harder.
Yeah. The one in Hawaii is pushing for 21 age rating.
Yeah.
Games have age ratings now, and they're not adhered to. Having an age rating on it, like,
it's fluff. Yeah.
If Overwatch or Destiny had, you know, 21 plus or whatever a new rating might be, it wouldn't matter because parents just buy them anyway. No, not dissing the parents, because I do the exact same thing. Alex plays games that,
like Monster Hunter.
All his favorite games are not in his age bracket. And that's just the way.
But that's you as a parent. It's your decision.
It's my decision as well. I guess, you know, it might help with, you know, those that are still uninformed, you know, a different generation that don't quite understand. But I don't think putting, like, an age rating doesn't fix anything. No. It doesn't. It's just a band-aid to say, yeah, we did something.
I do question why the government needs to get involved in a way. Like, so the big difference here in Australia is, like, so we have the Australian Classification Board, which I do believe is part of the government, is government regulated. however, in the US, they have the ESRB, which isn't. Like, it's within their own industry. And I do think, especially in America, with the state of their government, I do think it should be self-regulated by them. I don't think the government should get involved, especially because that would have drastic effects on the industry there.
But does self-regulating ever really work, though?
Within reason.
Within, I don't know.
Well, in the ESRB, like, you know, it's like, it's different regulation because it's just all about ratings and rankings and whatnot. But, you know, I think it'd be worthwhile to try self-regulated. If it doesn't fix, then move over there.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just still drawing attention, which is good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, normally with the way, not just the gaming industry, but everything goes, you know, you're outraged one week and then it's something else the next and you've forgotten about it. So,
yeah.
It's good just to, that it's still floating around. But it's not a simple fix.
No.
I can piss and moan all I want about it, but if someone's like, well, how would you fix it?
I don't know. Well, shut up, that's me.
Yeah, but it's like critiquing.
I'm doing it.
It's like critiquing a movie. Yeah, I mean, like, you can go, I didn't like this movie. how would you fix it? I don't know. I just didn't like it. It's not my job to make the movie.
It is kind of our job, though. It's not our job to make it, but it's our job to critique the movie and why. Like, we do the same for games, don't we? We don't know how to make games.
Saying what you did and like is not the same as saying how you would do it better. I mean, they're two very different things.
Okay.
That's what I
mean. Okay, I get your point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Number three, McFarlane Toys has teamed up with Activision to make action figures of popular Call of Duty characters.
What?
The first wave will include John Soap McTavish and Simon Ghost Riley. Who the fuck is that? From the Modern Warfare series. More characters spanning the franchise to be revealed at a later date. Todd McFarlane, CEO of McFarlane Toys, says, quote, "This franchise has delivered incredible experiences full of iconic and memorable characters, and we're delighted to bring these characters to life as collectibles to fans. Figures will be on display at International New York Toy Fair this past weekend and are set to release in fall, price for about $20.
So US autumn, so later this year. Okay.
Todd
McFarlane makes a really sweet toy. McFarlane toys are dope. Cool, and understands why Soap would be there. Captain Price.
I'm sure it says many more, you know, coming.
Yeah, it'd be like a Grunt 4.
Yeah. What's the one?
A dude you shoot in the face.
Generic bad guy.
Yeah, generic man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and like, obviously Simon Ghost Riley's from Ghosts. I didn't play it.
For those that love Con.
Yeah, but it's just not the kind of franchise that has those kind of marketable characters. Like, all the protagonists are just very generic.
Yeah, just dudes.
Now, that may not be the case for the last few, because I haven't played the campaign, but it seems to be the general consensus. Because I always watch, you know, all the reviews and stuff, and other than Soap and Price having that special place because Modern Warfare was just this huge thing at the time.
Are they going to create action figures for that the scene in the airport?
Well, no, Russian.
Yeah, no, right? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's like
it's a playset, yeah.
It's a board game.
It's like
roll the dice.
Yeah, here's the no Russian playset. Comes with four figures and a bunch of dead bodies. Batteries on blue.
And the bodies come apart.
But speaking of action figures, though, because I do want to mention this information. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Totaku figures, which, as I mentioned at the start of the video as well. We were under the impression that these were PlayStation exclusive sort of a thing.
In name.
So it turns out Totaku is actually a brand, I guess, like a brand of ThinkGeek, and they're looking at making figures from across the board. Now, suspiciously, they've announced 99%, 98% PlayStation brands, then there's a Sonic and a skeleton from Sea of Thieves.
So Totaku is like a pop vinyl, like that's the brand.
That's what it's going to be. Yeah. Which bums me out.
Why?
But, maybe because I'm like, oh, it's like the new pop vinyl. Like, yeah, but I want it.
Yeah, but
I've already pre-ordered a couple
of them. The problem with pop vinyls is that, you know, they've stretched it so thin now that a lot of them you can't tell the character. Mm. I mean, I was in Pop Culture the other day with Alex, and they had Stranger Things ones. And I'm like, you can't look at a pop vinyl and go, that's Will from Stranger Things.
Like, that's Child.
It's just generic, you know. But having said that, there are some fucking awesome pop vinyls.
Yeah.
All the Monster Hunter ones on pre-order.
Any character that's distinctive.
Yeah. So I've got a fair few at home, but on display I have Fallout in the power armor. Got Geralt, Rick Knight, Hellboy, and the Daedric armor from Skyrim. All like super recognizable, super unique to anything else. And the Monster Hunter ones are the same. But when you get into TV shows and stuff, they just kind of all...
I think it varies. Yeah. So like the ones that I have now, some of these were gifts, some of them weren't. I've got all the South Park boys over here. I've got Jane Silent Bob at my desk at work. I've got a Batman and a Green Arrow. And
I got the Flash and Reverse Flash.
Yeah, so like I've got ones that to me are notable. Like then there's all like the Nicktoons ones, like Aura Monsters and Rocker's Modern Life, because they look so different. They don't look like. This is what makes these so great is because it looks like the fucking characters. Like
it looks like your kid.
It looks like my son, which is even funnier. But the way they're designed, it actually works with the South Park characters.
Yeah.
And what's great about Totaku, by the looks of it, is they're high detail, small figures.
Yeah,
because they're so high detail, they can easily be anything.
Yeah, and the Totakus won't suffer the whole like blending, like looking at a character going, what is it?
Yeah.
Whereas if they ever make like Sam and Dean from Supernatural, you go, that's Sam and Dean from Supernatural. If there was a Sam and Dean, I'm sure there is Pop Vinyl, you'd be like,
yeah.
At a glance, without the patching, you'd be like, I don't know.
So we have, I think we have the Castiel one.
Yeah.
But because Cass dresses uniquely, it looks like, oh, it's Cass.
I'm keen for
them. But yeah, as I get them, because I will be probably getting most of the PlayStation ones at least, we will probably do some shameless unboxings.
Number four, Hot Wheels is teaming up with developer Psyonix to bring out a new Rocket League toy set this fall. This is fucking awesome.
Can we buy this and unbox and play with it?
Call the hot, we don't have to unbox every fucking...
No, I just want to play with it. And that way, if we do it for a video, Millie's like, what are you doing, like, playing with toy cars? What? It's for a video. Oh, okay.
Yes. Camera's not even on. Called the Hot Wheels Rocket League RC Rival set, it will feature Bluetooth enabled Octane and Dominance cars.
What?
That's the name of the model.
No, the Bluetooth, it activated.
Bluetooth enabled.
Does that mean you can control it?
It's an app on your phone that you control the car with.
No!
Let me keep going. Enabled Octane and Dominus cars players control with their smart devices. The set also features an arena to compete with LCD scoreboards, a ball with IR device embedded to keep track of the score. Additional details and release will be announced later this year. In addition, the set will include Hot Wheels in-game DLC for Rocket League, according to Sonic's Vice President Jeremy Dunn. And there's more to come after that. It's an arena! With an LCD board, and balls and goals, and you control it on your phone.
I don't mean to alarm you, Patreon, but you've just paid for the Rocket League set.
For business.
Yeah, research.
I know Dave's super excited.
Yeah, we'll bring Dave over and we'll play like a tournament. Mm. We'll have two cameras, we'll have an overall camera, we'll have one little camera on the arena.
And you get two little GoPros to strap to the cars.
Ooh, will that prevent the flipping though?
I'm sure they're not going to do aerials and back flipping.
In my head they will.
I'm sure they don't actually have little, like, NOS tanks. Because you turn it on and the car just disintegrates. But when I read the headline... I just figured it was remote-controlled cars, and that was enough for me. I was like, that's fucking cool as. Now, I am worried about the price, considering all of this. Mm. I don't know how big they are, how big the arena is, but all that extra stuff is just so cool.
I thought it was just Hot Wheels cars. Like, they were just Hot Wheels cars that look like the cars from Rocket League. I did not know it was all this extra stuff.
Yeah, because there's quite a few toys now that you control with an app. Alex has this, it's a ball called a Sphero.
Yeah, but...
Not Sphero.
Yeah, Sphero. Yeah, Sphero. Yeah, like, BB-8.
Yeah, he controls it all from his iPad, he drives it around, he starts mini-games and all that from the iPad. It's very, very cool stuff. It's cool to see it expanded into something I actually give a dick about. Number 5, top-selling games for the week ending 11th of Feb 2018, starting number 10, Rainbow Six Siege, number 9, back in it, GTA 5, number 8, Destiny 2, number 7, Assassin's Creed Origins.
I just love how you write Ars Origins every week.
Oh, I write the whole thing. Number 6, Crash Insane Trilogy. Number 5, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Number 4, COD World War 2.
Let's snuck back in there.
Number 3, Monster Hunter World. Number 2, UFC 3. Number 1, Shadow of the Colossus.
Very cool. Makes sense, Shadow of the Colossus is number 1. My point still stands. I still think about 40 games are sold in Australia a week. I need to confirm that.
That's it for the news, Ryan.
Yes.
Let us move into the segment where we chat to the players.
That's you, hi.
About remakes and remasters.
Ooh.
In a good way.
Yay.
Normally these segments go, the game is run out of ideas, they're recycling everything. No! Yes and no, but that doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. You know, we've got Crash, we know for a fact
Shadow of the Colossus.
We know Medieval's coming, we know Final Fantasy VII is coming.
At some point.
I don't want that. And the big rumour, the news story that's led us into this topic, I'll read for you now. A Spyro the Dragon Trilogy remaster is reportedly coming to PlayStation 4 as a time exclusive in quarter 3 2018. According to Kotaku UK, the remaster trilogy will include Spyro the Dragon. Fucking amazing. Who would have thought that?
I hope so.
Spyro Trilogy. Spyro Dragon. Oh! Spyro 2 Ripped Off Rage. And Spyro Year of the Dragon. The three games will reportedly feature all new assets.
With a new soundtrack
animations.
New soundtrack by Cisco. From his famous album, Enter the Dragon.
Ah, I see. All new assets, lighting, animation, cinematics, a remastered soundtrack, and overhaul to the original save system, and PS4 Pro support. An official announcement is expected later this month. Now, this is just a rumor, but, you know, it's cool. The exclusivity deal will reportedly last 1 year, allowing the collection to be released on other platforms in 2019. The report also claims Sony made a similar one-year deal with Activision on the Crash Bandicoot Entertainment Trilogy, meaning that the collection should come to other platforms later this year. According to one Kotaku source, the Spyro Trilogy will be released in September, which would line up with the series' 20-year anniversary.
Very cool.
Vicarious Visions, the Activision-owned studio behind the Crash Trilogy, is said to be doing Spyro as well.
Very cool.
Very, very
cool. However, before we dump into how cool this is, I want to mention a couple of things. One, they goddamn better improve the controls. Two, they goddamn better improve that camera.
They goddamn better improve everything. Because while Spyro was good at the time, looking back at it,
it's so bad.
Setting was cool, the characters were cool, being a little dragon, bringing fire, and getting gems and shit.
And hopping three dragons, yeah.
At the time, you didn't know any better. You didn't know, like, the camera was shit by today's standards, but back then.
Oh, make sure to follow the Facebook.
Just to, yeah. But, you know, at the time, that's just how the game was, mm-hmm. and you worked around it. But yeah, to be accepted in the modern age, there does need to be a lot of drastic. But seeing what Vicarious did with Crash, I'm confident.
See, the big difference with Crash is that Crash is, because it does have a fixed camera, we'll come back to them at the end, of course. So we did also reach out to the community folks and get what you guys would think and the other part as well. Because Crash was so very, you know, somewhat static camera, it's pretty simple to remaster. It's just visually. There's not much mechanical change, too much system change.
Apparently they did.
I'm sure they did, but you know, from the way you look at it, where Spyro will be so noticeably different, because I'll have to change a lot about it.
And the worlds are quite big. They're not the big sandbox
world. You've got to fill them, because they're way
space. But I don't remember Spyro having a lot of empty space. I mean, tell me what the hardware could do at the time. I'm sure you'd chuck in a few more fucking trees and bushes. At the time, you know, that was pretty good. So let's just have a talk about it. PlayStation obviously cool with this stuff happening.
Yeah, because it makes money.
It does. And it's not. I don't think it's a bad thing, because it's not taking development away from other studios who could be making something new. We've got Guerrilla Games, we've got Naughty Dog, we've got all the rest, Sony Band, we've got the rest of them. Vicarious Visions are made, seemingly, just to do this now.
Yeah,
and that's cool.
That's literally what they've been doing.
And it's not taking away anything from any other studio. So go to town. I don't mind. And I will pay for these games again. Did it with Crash. I'll do it with Final Fantasy VII, even though I'm not fully on board with it. But I liked it enough to do it. So let's just go, what do you want? Just anything. But PlayStation, it has to have been on PlayStation. That's the rule.
Only because we mentioned this, last week or the week before. Metal Gear Solid is obviously a big one for me. It's pretty much a given, right? I would like to see them remake the Twin Snakes redo for GameCube. So because it'd be too much work to do the PS1, so it'd be crazy. So if they could use the baseline of the Twin Snakes to amp that up.
Are you talking remastering it or like rebuilding?
Rebuilding it, because you'd be able to rebuild it from the GameCube version better than the PS1 version, because like they are staggeringly different. And the GameCube one is, like, they literally essentially remade the damn thing back in the day.
I think the GameCube one is still acceptable by today's standards.
It's acceptable-ish.
More than the PS1 version.
Oh, way more than the PS1 version. So what I would like to see on top of that is, now, we have seen the HD remasters already. I think they were named enough by Vicarious Visions for PS3. For two and three. Metal Gear. So I'd like to see them not remake them, just bump them up to PS4 levels, give them the 1080s and whatnot. But you know, essentially, yeah, remake the original, bump up 2 and 3, port 4 over.
Well, Konami might have to do that. They don't have much else going for them.
Yeah,
do they?
Not really.
They got their pachinkos. Yeah. Apparently, they don't even need games anymore.
Oh, it's very likely.
Well, they probably not mean it. They don't need games anymore. But that's just.
Yeah, so like I would like to see it all come to PS4 and then be a place where someone could play all four of them all five of them in one
go. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna get a GameCube to play 1 and 2 and then get this to play number
3.
Yeah,
I'm gonna play
number 4 and then go to play PS number 5 on my PS5. It's just not.
Yeah, then bring it all together and go from there.
What would you charge?
If it's a big full set like that.
I think they do 1 to 4. Obviously, they wouldn't do 5.
No, 5's fantastic.
Current gems.
So, 1 to 4. Because 2, 3, and 4, 4 stuck on PS3.
True.
So two, three, and four are just upscale, so that's not too bad. I think a lot of the big bump will come out of the first one, which if they just upscale the GameCube one, I think if you were to charge full price for all four of them, it'd probably be okay. Because think about it, like, you know, using Australian prices, Shadow Colossus was like $50. You know, and that was a full redo.
Crash
was $50.
For three games
that are all redone completely. I think even you probably could get away with like $80. I think you can. I'd totally pay.
Because yeah, it's a lot, but you step back and look at what you're getting, like how many hours worth of, you know, fun game time you're getting with that bundle, and it's well worth it.
So my phone was going mental. I made sure that I was dying.
San Andreas.
Oh shit!
GTA
okay.
San Andreas. Now, while I know,
why not Vice City? Vice City's fantastic.
San Andreas. While I know, like GTA 5 has built on that in every
because it is San Andreas.
Way, like literally every way possible. San Andreas just has that. I don't know, despite the characters, and like you could put me in the San Andreas map now, and I'd still know exactly where I need to go.
I still remember like stealing the plane from like the airport in Los Santos, flying over to Los Venturas.
Yeah,
just going from landing this casino, waste a ton of money, flying over, get the jetpack, and then just dig around.
But yeah, I don't know. To me, San Andreas was like that was GTA. Like that is the pinnacle of the GTA franchise. 5's good, but I could never like drag myself through the story. 4 was good, I could never drag myself through the story.
Yeah.
San Andreas.
I
didn't mind it. Like from the GTA 4, the perspective of the immigrants just trying to make it in America and you know the fucked up shit. Like it was pretty funny. There was a lot of funny moments, but I never had that like attachment to the characters. Whereas San Andreas just the story was just good. I could play through it again like tomorrow and I'd be super happy.
You can buy it, the PS2 Classic on the store.
It's not safe. I'm talking remake it like GTA 5. We're talking remakes.
Okay.
Yeah, bring it up to the modern day. Because to me also the problem with GTA 5 is it's probably too much. There's just
San Andreas had way more shit.
No, it
didn't. It did. It had like unnecessarily like make your character buff. You have to eat cool. And like those things would be monotonous now.
Yeah. But I've got to do that in Monster. I don't like to eat shit in my real life.
Yeah. Different game.
I'm gonna go bowling with my cousin.
That's beautiful. I'm gonna keep in the same vein. I'm gonna go with GTA. But my answer is GTA 1. The top down. I think it's important for people to see where GTA's come from. I think that's very, very cool, very important. So
like Hotline Miami?
No, not in the same. Like I think it should be full 3D rendered, but still top down. It would just because like in theory that should be easier to build, right? It's like full. It's still gonna be difficult.
If you're still rendering in 3D, you still need to build everything.
Yeah, it's just all top. Yeah, I guess. When I say full 3D, it's like doesn't look flat. Like it looks like you're looking down. Yeah, it's almost like you're looking down on top of a city. In the same way that GTA 5 between when you're going between characters.
Yeah, but all that stuff is still built and rendered in 3D.
Yeah, so
it's just the camera.
Might not be as easy as I think it is, but I think it's.
I like it.
Obviously, they will make some changes. Of course, rip out the unlicensed music that they use, bring in some licensed tunes, have some fun with it. I think keep the maps the same size, sort of.
I remember the map being absolutely massive.
Me too.
Probably
turns out they're not.
Maybe 9.
Yeah. Oh, here you go. GTA London. Throw that expansion pack.
Maybe 9 or 10 at the time. I don't know. But I just remember that map being absolutely massive, and by today's standards,
oh shit,
probably not.
Spoilers: all of mine are on the shelf.
That's because you didn't think of any. You just saw the shelf.
No, this is just coincidence. Oh, actually, not all of them. That one's probably not going
to
be there.
If they did it, I think it would be cool just for the unique experience to have to add an online function to GTA 1 as well. Like, you know, they've got all the cool graphics and stuff, but they still had the same kind of mission structure and everything that you could do with multiple people. However, the only concession I want is when you go through an overpass or a bridge to make a transparent. They can see where the fuck you're going. The amount of times I remember getting stuck and then just hitting reverse, not moving forward, not moving. Get out of the car, walk. Camera's just still. I'm like, what am I stuck on? that's pretty basic when you say so.
Yeah.
I would like them to do Final Fantasy VIII in the way they're doing VII, just without fucking it up. Because they've already fucked them. Now, it seems like in the last probably, I don't know, 10 years, that Square have decided people don't like turn-based combat anymore.
It's kind of true.
I get it. That's on you, because Atlus do turn-based combat, and it's fucking fantastic, because they've made it that way. Because turn-based combat, it's a different way of thinking. You know, you look at Final Fantasy XV, and it's the real-time action combat, and then you got your turn-based. In real-time action, you're thinking, what am I doing next? Whereas turn-based combat, you're thinking, what am I doing 3 or 4 turns from now? You're thinking really far ahead, and you prepare for that, yeah? And the way, you know, the Persona series has done turn-based combat is like the next evolution of it. It's very engaging. It's not just, you know, mashing X to get through the battle. You know, you find the weak spots, you batten pass, you know, all these different cool things. And I don't know, I like turn-based combat, and I want it back. And I don't want it just from one battle. I want it from all the novels. The Last of Us 2, now turn-based combat, that's not quite what I'm looking for. But, you know, I've said it so many times on like any show we've done, is in 8. 8 was the first one I played, so that, to me that's the pinnacle of the franchise.
Yeah, it's one I played, it's a demo I played.
7 was really, really good, really enjoyed it. 9's good, 10's good, but number 8, to me, that's everything that got me started on my whole love of JRPGs. And the cutscenes in that game still hold up today. Mm-hmm. Square have always been incredible with their cutscenes, always ahead of the time with their cutscenes. Because I've got it on the Vita, and it still looks great, the cutscenes. However, the actual gameplay looks pretty fucking ratchet now. Mm-hmm. I just love it to get the modernized treatment like that. If I could pick one game in my life ever and be like, we'll make this game for you the way you want it, that would be it.
Very nice.
A lot of people don't like it, so fuck it.
My next one is it's on the shelf. It's Harvest Moon Back to Nature. Like, that is my favourite game of all fucking time. I've come to the agreement and the understanding that is in fact my favourite game of all time.
That looks pretty good for PS1.
Except for the Comic Sans on the front.
Product of its time.
Yeah.
Like, you can probably play that now.
I do play it now, and it looks great, but my issue is... that's a book. How cool is that?
I think it'll look a disc works.
Yeah, it's broken. Is it effed?
I ain't never seen a black underside before.
Yeah, all the PS1s are black.
Really? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Be careful with this.
Lost train of thought. Oh yeah, so because after the release of Back to Nature, there were attempts at 3D ones. We'll go on here, funny enough. We got Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, and we got Harvest Moon Back to Nature. That's when they tried to do sort of 3D, which is the picture on the back there, take a look, it's pretty hard. But as of yet, no Harvest Moon or even Story of Seasons, which is what they've gone off and done, have quite nailed the 3D. Because Story of Seasons is stuck on the 3DS, 3DS only so powerful. Now, we do have high power farming games on PS4, like Farming Simulator and whatnot. Stardew Valley as well, we've got, which is great.
It's 2D though.
I want to see a cartoony farming game in the vein of Harvest Moon, remade fully 3D with the power of the PS4.
I miss these so much.
Remember
when I first got World of Warcraft? Because the instruction booklet for World of Warcraft, if I remember rightly, were 80 pages. And a lot of it was just lore on the world and the characters and everything, and I'd just sit on, like, it was my toilet book. You'd be on top of the toilet. Mm. I'd just read some more lore while I'm taking a shit. I miss them, Brandy.
Yeah.
But we did also ask the do you have any more?
No.
That's about it.
Oh, I was thinking about Silent Hill would be a good one as well. Since we're not seeing Silent Hills, I think it might be interesting to do, but you would have to fuck around with it a bit.
Yeah.
Because what made that game really good was the fog. So they used the fog as a way to not be able to render as far as they could. So the fog added this eerie look, but it's just like we don't have the power to run that next part.
Yeah, but so, even by today's standards, I don't think it would be.
Yeah, so like when they did the HD remasters of 2 and 3 from PS2 to PS3, because they had the rendering power, they removed some of the fog and it took all the scare away.
Yeah, Harvest Moon is the fog. The siren goes, the fog rolls in, and your heart just dies. So, as we normally do, we reached out to the community to see what they.
So, we're hearing from the players. That's you guys.
We have
a different section for that, combining the two. What are you going to do about it? Go on.
Buddy Watson would like Jonah Lomu Rugby, a jumping flash.
I think you also put this picture in there as well.
Yeah, there's a
for Croc, get to Legend of the Gobbos. Another game that controls like ass.
That was the first PlayStation game I ever played.
Is it? I think maybe.
Mum first got with my stepdad.
Yep.
We're going to see Steve.
Steve talks.
We go to his house for the first time. He's like, you want to play PlayStation? Yeah. Put some Croc. He's got these fucking Yamaha speakers, like, because he was a DJ, yeah, at the time. The Yamaha speakers is like, bam,
bam. My head. I love Steve.
Can you live with us now? I've gone back to Croc once on a ROM and it's fucking
trash. It's bad, it's so bad.
Even, like, you can remaster it all you want, the game's still trash. Jonah Lomu Rugby and Jumping Flash. You know either of those games? I know Jonah Lomu Rugby, very popular. I don't know Jumping Flash though. Dave says Medieval, is that right, Zach Jackson?
Yeah, he's saying that. Yeah, so Medieval's coming. That would have been on my list if we hadn't already
heard
it. Actually, we might see Siphon Filter as well. Yeah.
It has to be Jack and Daxter next. Now we got.
Yeah, we got Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, we got Ratchet and Clank. So, yeah, I forgot to mention. Oh, Ratchet and Clank was more of a reboot of the franchise than a remaster. Jacob Garner.
Just oh, pinch.
One gif. Simpsons Hit and Run.
Oh my god, yes!
Yeah.
Just about.
I've still got it. Somewhere.
See, like, they would have used the same sort of, like, cel shaded y, cartoony look they've done with Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
That'd be great because the one with PS3 when they tried to do like 3D Futurama, Simpsons, and Family Guy, it's all really kind of jarring. But I think if you were to sort of use the same art style as Dragon Fighters,
when Pokemon had Pokemon Stadium, you see the sprites in 3D for the first time. It's jarring just because you're used to seeing.
Yeah, but they also look really good on Sun and Moon
and Pokken.
Yeah.
Toilet. Paul James, the one and only Shane Warne Cricket.
No, fuck, of course you would, Paul.
And the greatest of all time, Final Fantasy IX. And we did get that re-released, remastered.
It was up, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think they're up the resolution or something. Recently I bought it, played it for probably 2 hours. And I thought I wanted it so bad, and then I got it, and I kind of remembered the grind, and I was
I'm going to add one more. Was it Mystic Quest Legend?
That was a Nintendo game.
Thank you, fuck, make that one.
Mystic Quest Legend for Nintendo.
Yeah, I'll play that again.
The untitled Final Fantasy title. It was a Final Fantasy. Zach Jackson, excuse me, but the greatest of all time is Porsche Challenge.
with an attached photo of Porsche Challenge.
I'm assuming that's his Porsche Challenge.
Yes, it is.
With a sticker on it, win a Porsche Boxstar made at $115,000.
My favorite thing about Zach is, so Zach's a buddy of ours, he helps run Do Even Game Bro. He messaged me a couple months ago. He said, hey man, I need your help setting up a streaming, like creating a streaming setup. I'm like, cool, well, that's what you need. He's like, okay, cool. I'm like, what are you looking at streaming? He's like, Porsche Challenge. I'm like, fucking idiot. And sure enough, he did.
Man follows through with what he says he'll do.
He does love shit games.
And last one from Chris Conway, I'd love to see a remake of Future Cop LAPD.
Oh, I remember that. That's way back.
When I was younger, exactly. High degree. I remember writing that. I don't know why. Many different games for many different people.
Yeah, like a lot of mine were easy picks, of course, because they're my favourite games. That's why I talk about them all the time.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a given.
So I had the issue is back in those days, my stepdad had a guy who got us $10 games, like anything.
Oh,
$10 per disc. So, you know, Final Fantasy VIII was four discs, so it was $40 from the game. But I was spoiled for choice. So I don't think I appreciated a lot of
me the too, because like I was the same. Like the first PS PlayStation I ever had was a modified one. My dad picked up from a swap meet in the city. That's actually right there. It's so discolored. Like that's 20 years of playing right there. So I had the same thing. We were able to sort of acquire games and other means at the time, which was, you know, we were a low income household, so we did what we did. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have the backlog that I had. I wouldn't be where I am right now.
I still enjoyed.
But I'm the same. I think I played too many to really.
Mum used to take me to Video Easy as well. She'd get a couple of movies. I'd be allowed to rent a game when that was a thing. That was so cool.
Yeah, I miss renting games. I can miss just going and looking at the shelves. I miss renting movies as well, because this is just a story I've told 1,000 times. Like where I have a lot of my movie understanding, my movie knowledge, I guess, came from Civic Video in Traralgon. It came from Dollar Mondays. Anything, new release, anything, a dollar. So I would go and get a couple of movies, and I would leave either overnight or a week. I'd skateboard after school, go down, pick it up, skate home. Go to, watch it, go back to school, next day, drop down, drop it off, go out.
If Video Easy was still a thing, I would still go. Like, the best times of my life was when I first got my license and I could go to Video Easy, get some movies, there's a pizza shop next door.
Yeah.
Go up, order a pizza, go to Video Easy.
Well, same thing.
Get my shit, come out, grab the pizza, and that's my weekend.
Dude, up until I was like 19, that was my routine. Yeah. Where I lived in the city in Elsternwick, I used to skate, once again skateboarding, because I skateboard a lot apparently. I would skateboard down to the pizza shop, a place in order, I'd go another block over to Video Easy, grab a couple of movies, come back in my pizza, skate back down. Like, this is when I was studying at uni, my Friday night.
It has such a nostalgic
value. I think there's a way Video Easy could still be done now. Yeah, they do have their rent. This is a so side conversation. But like the problem right now is because people can like it's digital, right? But the problem is a lot of those like Netflix and whatnot, they're always really behind. What you need to do is you need to make a proprietary USB that's locked. Like you go to a kiosk, you plug it in, you buy what you want. Even if it is subscription, give you access and the proprietary makes the thing. Go home, go to your PS4, there's the Video Easy app, plug your stick in and it can only be used through the app. It's like some sort of...
Yeah, but then you still don't get the store to browse.
You're
looking at a key, it's not the same.
Yes, but like...
I get what you're saying though, it's a good idea.
That's the way to go around.
Yeah, I like it.
But the difficult part is the store itself wouldn't exist anymore. It's not possible.
No, you buy the USB dongle online, probably plug it in, go to their website, do all the thing.
No, it's...
But they still have kiosks to like rent a movie and stuff.
The problem, because I thought, I was so baffled when I moved to Geelong that there was a Blockbuster Video here that hadn't collapsed. And I went in there and they had old ass games. I'm like,
I just buy things?
I'm like, yeah, when they went out, I'm like, oh, come on.
Was that the one on High Street?
Yeah.
Near
it went from a crossover as a big ass thing to a smaller one.
I went next to Subway.
Yeah, and then it kind of went away.
Yeah. I regret, because I knew when it was shutting down, because I was working at the Dan Murphy's. I regret not going in when the Science Tower was shutting down to like just be like, can I just buy these games? I'll give you like $10 each. I'm sure they have some real good stuff in there.
Speaking of games, but these are old games. We've gone way off topic. Let's bring it back with the games that are coming to your PlayStation this week in a section we call Coming To the Players.
Pretty big drop this week.
Cool.
Not much of a move, though. I'll go through. Stop me when you want to talk about something. Abbo Cash'em. PS4 Digital. Apex Construct PSVR Digital. Armored Warfare PS4 Digital. Deadbolt PS4 PS Vita Digital. That's a cool thumbnail.
Very cool thumbnail.
Defender's Quest Valley of the Forgotten DX.
The Leo!
Oh. If I like Triple H and X Valley, it's like, why are you new to Generation X? Conrad the Kitten PSVR.
Kitten holding game.
Little Adventure on the Prairie. That's a bad thumbnail.
That thumbnail is what's a widescreen image smooshed into a square image with Word Art on top.
It's literally Microsoft Word.
Yeah, like, literally.
Like, default text box. PS4, PS3, digital. Metal Gear Survive.
Yeah! King's F.
We know, are we getting
yes,
for sure?
Yes, happening.
Sweet. King's F.
Thank you, Kat and the team at QDS.
Past Cure, PS4, digital.
I've seen that thumbnail everywhere this week.
An intense cinematic story-driven experience that challenges the player to use mind-bending mental abilities to survive.
Quantum Break, I guess.
Premium Pool Arena. Now that's Super Pool, not Wet Pool. PS4 Digital. Rad Rogers, PS4 Digital and Retail. Restless Spirit, PSVR. Did I get you there?
Like, here's this really cool VR game, it just pulls around the world.
Like, wow. Run, Dorothy, Run, PSVR. The Station, PS4, Digital. Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet, PS4, Digital and Retail. Symmetry, PS4, Digital. Tiles, PS4, Digital. Xenon Valkyrie Plus, PS4, Digital. I didn't know they had a PlayStation Music section.
Like, yeah, it's Spotify. Cool. It's literally Spotify. Yeah. Black Panther, good film. Yeah, Metal Gear Survive is pretty much anyone that keeps my interest this week.
Yeah. That was it was very, very fun night that night.
Yeah, it was you're like, good one to play. I'm like, dude, play it. It's free this weekend, we can play it again.
Oh, is it really?
Not play it again.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
it's
another
beta this weekend.
Oh, I thought
that 16th to the 19th.
Oh, sweet.
Not bigger. New story missions, new game, new missions.
Ooh.
Yep, I'm downloading Survive, I'm done here.
Cool. Can I start here?
You sure can.
Because whenever I do it myself, it's always like the wrong time. If you enjoyed that PlayStation conversation, you can join in many more every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and other podcast services. And we changed this, so what did I say next? If you would like to join in the conversation, simply join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, or comment below. If you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon, head over there, check out the tiers, and like something there that interests
you. If you want to show your support and get some pop cultures on your body, head to popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, phone covers, cups, mugs, anything with our logo smacked on the front of it.
Bam. Wow. Send pop cultures on us. Like on your body.
That's sexy.
That's real hot.
Ooh, I'm Ryan Besson.
I'm Josh Lewis.
And that was for the players. I've got the buffin.